Well, welcome to After Hours, post-football game After Hours. It has been my tradition for, as many of you know, for many years to sometime around the holidays have my friend Father John Cusick, who used to work at Old St. Pancis. He's now retired, but I'm lucky to have him on again. I'm sorry you couldn't come in, John, but the station is insane, and we don't know what time. I thought we might not
show. Hey, I'm there for you. You know that.
And you also have turned into, I am so charmed by your latest book, Emmanuel, God with Us, Reflections on the Mystery of Christmas. When you say that, John, what do you mean by the mystery of Christmas? What does that mean?
Well, mystery is an old Greek word, mysterion, which really meant drama.
Mm-hmm.
And in Greek theater, for all of you theater buffs out there, there were only two types of dramas, tragedy and comedy.
Yeah.
And comedy meant, it wasn't, you know, George Carlin, but comedy meant when the curtain came down at the end, everything worked out. And so I think that's part of the magic of the Christmas story. Somehow, in some way, it all works out.
Let me ask you, before we get into specifics, and I'm going to read some of what you've written in your book, because I've always found, as you well know, you to be a fine, fine, talented writer. But do you think, John, over these last two difficult years, that the whole notion of Christmas has changed at all? I know it basically, at its core, it probably hasn't changed, but I think that the circumstances of caused by COVID and pandemic and new variants has kind of, do you think it's altered the meaning of Christmas for people?
I don't know if it's altered the meaning, Rick, but COVID has changed absolutely everything. Nothing in life is getting a pass.
Yeah.
I just don't think there might be the sense of celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Because in many ways, you know, churches do not have the people in them that they had before COVID.
Correct.
So that's number one. And number two, families that celebrate, there's just a lot of animosity about who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated, are you going to wear a mask? I mean, there's just so many external cultural pushes today that make everything so different.
Yeah. And someone I know was at a, you know her too, Kathy Murray, was at a funeral last week and was sort of a funeral on the South Side and was kind of stunned by the fact that very, very few, if any, people of varying age were even wearing masks. And that kind of terrifies me because I just, you know, heard from two friends who have COVID, and it's a weird thing. And I think there was something always, you know, I'm not a church going man, but I have ever believed that there is something in that community of people gathering, whether they're doing it at a theater or whether they're doing it in a church, that strengthens humanity. You must have. I saw it when you gave your, what did we call it? Old St. Pat, you give like a goodbye talk, or what was that thing? A celebration of your
50 years plus 1.5.
Yeah, that's right.
That was my 50th anniversary a year and a half later.
Yeah, that was a remarkable. You must have been. I mean, you seemed, you know, to hold it together pretty well, but you must have been a little overwhelmed by that, weren't you?
I was humbled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rick, there were between 750 and 800 people.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say I knew everybody but about 10 by name.
Wow. Well, you have married and buried and celebrated and baptized and done all that stuff with people for 50 years. And though you are, and I'm always fascinated by the fact of a retired priest, it's like being a retired Marine. It doesn't really kind of, you know what I mean? Once a priest, always a priest, to my mind. But don't you think, and I do sense, and you can address this because you've been seeing it for 50 years, there is an astonishing sense of community inherent in people gathering for sermons or celebrations or other rites in a church, isn't there?
There is, and particularly unique is where I've been able to preside at Mass for, 35 years, and that's Old St. Patrick's.
Yeah.
Down on the corner of Adams and the Splains in Chicago. That day of my anniversary celebration, and most Sundays it's full, and I always look at it, it's like a giant AA meeting. We don't necessarily know who everybody is, but we know we got to be there.
Yeah.
And that's important stuff.
Sure it is.
I think if we come out of this COVID thing someday, I think we will find a new value to what community and bonding together might be able to mean. I really believe that.
Do you want to speculate on what that new meaning might be? I absolutely think you're right. I think people, certainly people I talk to, are craving increasingly, as each kind of lonely month goes by, the companionship of other people. I'm not going to say it's a desperate kind of thing, but I sort of like your comparison to AA in the way that I've known a lot of people in AA and how they, crave a drink, but they have found a community that will allow them to stay away from the drink.
Right.
I saw this morning, it was fascinating. Go ahead.
No, I think it just supports their best efforts to be their best self.
Talking about booze.
The importance.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need this to be the best person I am.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I do need these people who are on the same path through life with me.
Do you feel, John, I know you come in and do some things at Old St. Patrick's with some frequency, but have you felt lonely over these last couple of years?
No, not really. I laugh at myself. You got to remember, I'm an only child.
Yes, I do.
I can get along with myself better than most people can.
Well, I want to read something.
I want to read
a number of portions of this book. But at the beginning in your introduction called About These Pages, you write about yourself as a child. And you say that you also discovered that these images surrounding Christ's birth connected me to my memories of Christmases throughout my life. As I pull out the crib from under my bed and put it under the Christmas tree, I remember walking with my mom to Anthony's 5-and-10-cent store on 79th Street to buy a manger. I can recall asking her for some spare change in the years to come so that I could buy a few more sheep. And still today, just like when I was a little kid, I hang the star and arrange the sheep next to the shepherds. I remember gifts I received from my mom and dad and gifts I gave to them. So much of my life comes alive in reflecting on the Christmas story. And I think that is so true of, and there's some other part where you really do talk about Chicago, where this is a season, even though some people, get that whole, oh my God, my family's nuts. It's, part of a Eugene O'Neill play and I got to have more drinks to get through Christmas. This is a time of year where that whole family and memory merge into one and a kind of a river of emotion runs through it. Talk to me about your childhood a little more, John. You do in the book. And again, the book is Emmanuel, God with Us, Reflections on the Mystery of Christmas. It is John Cusack's second book. It is published by Corby Books out of Notre Dame, Indiana. It's available, I'm sure it's available online and Amazon and all that jazz, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Good, because it would be, I don't know how quick Amazon can get a book, but it's not only a great Christmas book. I get sort of weirded out at Christmas because it, for some people, it's a kind of forced togetherness. But this morning, you and I both know this, because Old St. Pat's was, when you came there, when you and John Wall came there, it was in the middle of what was the last vestiges of Skid Row, which was filled with a lot of lousy taverns, and those taverns occasionally would have lines of people lined up in front of them before they opened, and it was a sad kind of thing. So today, John, I'm walking down Division Street, and I see a line of people lined up in front of Butch McGuire's, and I'm like, oh, my God. These people need hair of the dog, or what is the problem? And then I start looking at them, and there were families, there were little kids, and I realized that they were going into Butch McGuire's to perhaps not even have a drink, but to have a cup of coffee and ogle the Christmas decorations that were there. And it made me incredibly happy. And those kind of rights are so important. I think people are grasping at them now, but that must be the same for you. And I'm sure, are you doing anything? Are you speaking at all at Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
Christmas Day, I've got the 8 o'clock service in the morning at Old St. Pat's, and they're going to live stream that. So a lot of people, you know, can stay in their pajamas and Old St. Pat's .org and hit live stream, and there I'll be.
John, tell me, I'm going to keep you all the way till I'm going to keep you all the way till 7s, but I want to know too. So I'm going to ask you now. This book is comprised of not just your observations and feelings, and one chapter is just amazing, and I may read all the chapters are very short. I may read in the next half hour the chapter titled "We Need Christmas." Are these based on your writings? Because you don't. One of the great things about you as a writer and a human being and a priest is you never wrote down your sermons, speeches. Never. You got up there.
I still don't. I still don't do that.
And you just, what is the seed of that? Do you trust yourself? You obviously are noodling around various themes and topics in your head, right? And you get up there and you look out at the congregation and you just begin. It's an incredible, I've done it too, but I'm a writer. I've done that too, but it's a difficult thing to do. Did it at first when you started doing it, was it a huge challenge for you, and you, because you have to trust yourself deeply?
Yeah, I mean, anything that's new is always terrifying, whether learning how to ride a bike or learning how to, you know, preach a message.
Yeah.
But I'm terribly inquisitive about the human condition, and everything I write, I basically have thought about that or felt it because of different people whose lives I've intersected with, or people that I've seen and listened to, and it's all the best of humankind. And Christmas brings out a lot of that in me, and it brings back my memory. I mean, I've got some tremendous memories of meeting my dad down at the LaSalle Street Railroad Station, and we'd go to get a dress for my mother, and it turned into almost a hilarious comedy.
Yes,
because he was such a character.
Well, I'm going to read maybe to end this half hour. You talk about that in the chapter titled "Chicago Traditions," and you started by saying, "For Christmas to be Christmas, there are many rituals I need." And you talk about going to the Marshall Field windows and the seventh floor to see the great tree and see if Uncle Mistletoe showed up this year. And you walk to the Daily Center and to the Kindle Market, and you have a bratwurst, hold the kraut, and a glass of good German beer. But then the fascinating thing about this entire book, John Emmanuel, God with us, Reflections on the Mystery of Christmas, the punctuation mark is not for me on the mystery of it. It's on reflections. And here is one. That's what I think is the great, great joy of this book, because I think it will evoke those same kind of memories in other people. There was the annual preamble to our lunch at Burgos. And you're talking to you and your dad. We would walk up State Street to Marshall Fields and take the elevator to the dress department. It was time to buy Mom a Christmas gift. To be blunt and to oversimplify, my father was a character. We would enter the dress. I laughed out loud reading this. We would enter the dress department and make our way to a rack of nice dresses. A sales lady would greet us. parentheses, astonishingly, they really did in those days, end parentheses, and ask if she could help us. My father, staring at the rack of nice dresses, would point to one from about 20 feet away and tell her, we'll take that one. The sales lady, looking rather surprised, said, sir, do you want to look at that dress more closely? No, my father replied, but you can wrap it up nicely for us. You see, no matter which dress we choose, it will come back anyway, end quote. And it always did. Lesson for me since then, don't buy clothes for women. That is just one of the tales in what really is a beautifully written book. And I asked you before, are these when you started to write this book, what was your source material? Your mind?
Source material was human experience.
Yeah.
And everything in there comes right out of the human condition.
Yeah.
Watching people, listening to people, looking at myself, doing a lot of reflecting. And eventually, I used to write one of those little reflections once a year around Christmas time. And I saved them all. And wow. I said, I've got a box of these things.
Ugh.
And so I handed them over to my dear friend David Kovacs. And he said, there's a book in here somewhere.
Well, David Kovacs,
and he began to sort of
incredibly smart guy. We got to take a break now and get some news in here. And we'll come back. And I'm going to start the second portion of the Rick Kogan and Father Cusick. It's too bad. We should have formed a comedy team or some kind of team a long time ago. We'll be back. Welcome back to this abbreviated edition of After Hours with me, Rick Kogan. It is also the last After Hours of this miserable, crazy, sad year. I won't be back on until the new year. I am on, luckily, with my friend, Father John Cusick, formerly of Old St. Pat's, but ever of Old St. Pat's. He has written a second book, of which I hope there are going to be 30 books, John, I really do. This latest is Emmanuel, God with Us, Reflections on the Mystery of Christmas. And it is it's very Chicago-centric, but here is one chapter, and it's made up of very, very small chapters, easily digestible. This chapter is titled, We Need Christmas. And John writes, it's the one season of the year that has its own everything. It has its own music, art, colors, and stories. It seems to have a most positive effect on all of us. The little kid in each of us is just waiting to break out again. We want to sing, to stand in awe of decorations, to give gifts, to be surprised, to make sure others are cared for, to dream of what could be Christmas. Maybe no more war, less violence, more love, no poverty, less pain. We need Christmas. Just maybe, when times are tough, when we sense the harshness of reality, when we come up against limits, when we're told to grin and bear it, we need Christmas. We need the great imagination and stories of what could be. More than that, we need the experience day by day of what life can be. We need Christmas. We need to realize that God is breaking forth in life when you sense that it could be different, when you are surprised, when you are generous, when you care for others, when you fight poverty, when you value love, when you live for change. Then God is happening in time and space. The time is now. It is our time. The space is the reality we live within each day. God is happening. Life will be more everything. It is Christmas all over again. That, John Cusick, is poetry. It's poetry. You don't mind that I'm very moved by that chapter, do you?
No, not at all. And I was listening to that in light of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, God, with this darn COVID thing, I'm saying to myself, yeah, we really need Christmas. We need to celebrate, and we need to be with people, and We need to. I've been playing one of the Christmas stations in my car just because I want to be lifted away from the daily news that is always just so terrible lately. I'm looking for hope. And yeah. I think that's the human condition.
You know,
you're right. We need Christmas.
Well, and I'll tell you, you know, walking down to the station from my home and walking up Michigan Avenue, and I can always be beguiled by Christmas lights. I can always be grabbed by them. But this year, in front of Neiman Marcus, were more, you know, blue police car lights than Christmas lights, and it gave me a real jolt. And I think you are absolutely right, Father Cusick, about the rituals of Christmas. It is always good, and I think you have the wonderful ability of still to kind of evoke childhood memories by walking through the Daily Plaza, by going to the Kindle Market, though your father never saw the Kindle Market. What do you think your father would have thought of the Kindle Market?
Oh, I think he would have found it clever.
Yeah.
As long as they were serving beer, he'd feel pretty good about it.
I'm sure he wouldn't be alone in that, yeah.
No, I mean, he was a Chicago guy.
No kidding.
And I just enjoyed I was only 25 when he died. I didn't feel cheated.
Yeah, I know.
But the memories I have through the lens of Christmas of my family, my mom and dad, they just restore my faith in humanity every single year. They really do.
What was the best gift, John, can remember? What is the best gift you gave your parents for Christmas?
It was something in a tie box. And that really, when I walked into the house, I was already a young priest, and I was finished my day, and I drove, I was up in Park Ridge, and they were on the south side, and my mother always liked a lot of boxes, all wrapped up, whether for her birthday. You had to show up with boxes. Well, that year, I walked in with a wrapped tie box, and she's looking around like, did you leave it in the car?
Yeah, where's the rest of it?
You know, she's looking for the boxes. Well, I told them to sit on the sofa in the living room, and I handed them this box, and they didn't know what they should do. I said, just open it. And when they opened it, I had a little tissue paper, and on top of the tissue paper, I had a letter. And it went something like this. I don't have the exact memory.
Sure.
I said, dear Mom and Dad, this year, a dream came true for me when I was ordained a Catholic priest. And I said, I'm very aware that in the last number of years, you cut back in your own life so that I could pursue my dream. You no longer took a summer vacation, and you used the excuse, well, you won't be able to join us, when I think the reality was I didn't have any money. And you were able to funnel some money my way so that I could pursue what I thought was important. I said, I'm forever grateful, and inside the box you will find airplane tickets to Miami and hotel vouchers for Miami and Nassau. Ugh. I want you to take a vacation because you haven't been able to take one for years. Ugh. And I said, I'm going to join you for a couple days, and then the rest of the time is just you, my mom and dad, enjoying your own lives. And I signed it with all my love, John. And Rick, little did I know that Christmas, that was my dad's last Christmas.
Yeah.
He died 10 months later. How could I not think that was the best?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
They
I
must
gave them
have
the gift of their time, you know?
Yeah. That's quite
it
a story.
I'm still emotional about it.
Yeah, me too. You've told me that story before, and it always grabs me. And yes, indeed, the Christmas season is about presents and gift giving. And to my mind, it's gotten sort of can get sort of grotesquely commercial. But also, it is a time for making, and I'm very big on this, John, of making kind of new Christmas memories. It is one thing to go about the business of you know, going to the Berghoff, and you know, I go to Feel. I love the Walnut Room. Kate and I go there all the time, and it evokes wonderful memories for me. But there's also something to be said about making new memories, don't you think? And to enrich, not only to enrich the present, but maybe enrich the people you know.
And it helps shape my public speaking and my ideas. I had one the other day, Rick. I was standing in line to buy Frango mints at Macy's out in Oak Brook. And there was a lady behind me in line. And this is, you know, just retail America today. I counted there were 11 people in line to buy this damn chocolate.
Wow.
Wow. Because there was no help. There's no help in the store.
Yeah, right. No
and
kidding.
So she had her arms bundled with things, and we just got talking. I like to talk to people.
Sure.
And she said she had just spent 2 hours in line to return a couple gifts to get her money for it. And she said, this year and not too many months ago, I lost my husband, and you could tell she was just, she was beat up by that, and she told me she had a son and daughter in two different parts of the country. Though she didn't say this, I picked up. I think she bought them something that they didn't want. Because she said, my daughter said to me, Mom, why don't you just get us an Amazon gift card and we can get what we want? Mm. Oh, I was furious.
Yeah, yeah.
A gift is not, how selfish of a woman that daughter was.
No kidding.
Something, let me get something I want. Yeah. Honey, it's a gift. It's your mother expressing some love she has for you, her only daughter.
Mm.
And it's wrapped up in a gift. And now she went and brought it back.
Ugh.
Oh.
It's horrible.
You know,
that's horrible.
I will
tell you something good, though. When your buddy Kate Murray was down at Marshall Field's today, there were no Frango mints. They're gone. Sold out. Totally sold out.
They're all sold out.
Which I guess says something good. We got to take one quick break, and then I'm going to end my annual conversation with my annual Christmas time conversation with John Cusack. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Welcome back. I have a few more minutes, never enough time, with John Cusack. His latest book is Emmanuel, God With Us, Reflections on the Mystery of Christmas. I got to tell you, John, I'm going to ask you, but this book is a wonderful book, no matter what time of year it is. I have found incredible insight and all things to think. It evokes, it makes me think, this book, these short little takes that you have, many of them, not all of them, but many of them about Christmas. Am I thinking too much about this, or do you think the same thing?
Oh, I you know, I just think Christmas is the that's the umbrella, and underneath it are all these human stories.
Yeah.
And we could say Easter, we could say 4th of July.
Sure.
They would really all apply. It's just looking at the human condition, and someone once said to me, and I've used this a lot, what would you want more out of life than anything else? And it can't be just all the cultural things. Well, you know, I'd like to retire, I'd like, you know, to have a lot of money. No, out of all the, when you look at life, what would you want out of life more than anything else? You know, and I think that's the Christmas story. You know, part of it is, you know, peace on earth. Let's stop killing one another.
Yeah.
You know, that we live in this city, and how many of us, I have never lived in fear walking around downtown or Michigan Avenue, things like that. I'm always watching my back now, I guarantee you that.
I know. I know.
Something has changed.
Yes.
And I want a sense of freedom for myself, and I want a sense, I think what I want more than anything else are people who live in the West Side and the South Side who are decent, loving people who are not involved in any of this stuff. They can't afford to get out of there.
Yeah, I know.
They're living in a jail filled with violence.
Yeah.
And that's no way to live.
It's,
you know?
No, it certainly isn't, John.
That's what I want. That's what I want for people. Well, I really do.
Hear, hear. You know? Yeah, me too. Me too. The book can be, and again, it's Emmanuel, God with Us, Reflections on the Mystery of Christmas, can be had at the publisher is at Corby Books, CorbyBooks.com. But also Amazon and all these other places have it too. It has, I would hazard to say, and I would nominate it for the cutest author photo in the history of American literature. It is a picture of young John, who couldn't be more than a couple months old. On the very front of it, it says, "This book is dedicated to Florence A. Cusick." And underneath it, it says, "She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes, 1945. That is you, is it not, Father Cusick? It better be you.
I don't think I'm a month old.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just a little wee one.
But I am. I'm nominating this for the greatest author photo in the history of American literature. What will you do for Christmas? You will be at Old St. Pat's at 8 o'clock Mass on Christmas Day, correct?
Right. Then yeah. I go to my cousin Madeline's and her husband Tom in the afternoon, and they've been making room for me at their table for years, and I can't thank them enough. And I look around the table. I remember where her mother sat, where my mother sat. I remember all the people in the generation ahead of us that are gone, and then I look at all these little young faces that have taken their place. And the cycle of life and the mystery of life continues every year. So I will do that again, and I get very nostalgic. I'm looking for those who are gone, and I want to welcome and celebrate those who are there. So that's the Christmas story. It never gets old.
No, you're right. And the way you simply talk about it, you put me in touch with that whole Christmas time and Christmas spirit, and even the whole notion of lights that people put up. I mean, some stuff of Christmas is insane to me, that you'll have a, you know, plastic Elvis sharing a yard with a reindeer or something. I mean, it gets a little much, but in the light, it's these people are, you know, in the ancient use of light to fight the fear of darkness. That's one of the things I really always think when I see Christmas lights. I don't think the Christmas lights themselves are inducing you to come in and spend your money. I think it's a warming, brave thing. And as you're talking about, fear, that's what light was always used for initially, was to fight the fear, the fear of big dinosaurs or monsters and other things. John Cusick, when are you coming in to go to the Berghoff?
We have to go to the Berghoff sooner than later. I've been there twice already just to warm it up. I want to let you know that. I occupied a stool over in the old men's grill over there.
Yeah.
And I lifted one because I would have been with my dad.
Yep.
I would have had a Coke, and he would have had a Schlitz and a shot of Hiram Walker for lunch.
Well, I can do that. I can do that. I can resurrect your dad in a shot of Hiram Walker.
Yeah.
John,
we'll do that.
I wish I'd been able to see you. I thank you so much for taking the time, because this is you are and have been for some time part of my Christmas, and it would not be the same without you.
Well, every year you have me on, and I'm the one who's humbled.
Well,
because I have the greatest
You know who benefits? The listeners benefit. John, take great care of yourself. I will see you soon, okay?
Okay.
All right, pal. Take care.
Okay, best to Fiona.
Thanks, betcha. Rick. You betcha, honey.
He's blessed at the house.
Yes, what a great guy. The book again, Emmanuel, God with Us, Reflections on the Mystery of Christmas. John, if I were a religious guy, he'd be my priest. And he kind of is my priest anyway. That's the way I like to think of it. I will not be on this radio station until 2022, and I certainly hope that year is a better one than this one. Brett Jackson, you've been a pal helping this show. Jack Heinrich and Krista Flores, I don't know what I'd do without you guys, and especially you listeners. Have a great, great holiday, and let's make next year Safe and healthy. Take care.